This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Up till this point, the discussion has been focused on the earthenware, a tanur oven or a kira stove. It is specifically the tanur or kira that's made of earthenware, which is subject to the particular rules of a tanur, including that it could become tame from its interior airspace, but not from its outer surface. And also the unique fact that even though this is essentially an upside-down pot that sits on the ground, so there's no actual bottom to the vessel itself, nevertheless, it has the halachic status of a kli that is mekabel tumah. And finally, specifically the earthenware, tanur oven or kira stove, that becomes tameh can only be purified one way, and that is by breaking it. Our Mishnah discusses the tumah status of a tanur made of other material. The Mishnah rules tanur shel evin, a tanur oven made of stone, v'shel matechas, or of metal, tahar, is not subject to tumah, at least in the way that an earthenware tanur is. The first part of the Mishnah's teaching, that the tanur shel evin, a stone tanur, is tahar, is meant quite literally. No tumah status whatsoever applies to such a tanur, because again, when the Pasuk teaches the special status of a tanur, it's referring to a tanur made of earthenware. If you have something made of stone that's shaped into a tanur, then that doesn't have the halachic status of a tanur. Rather, it's a kli, it's a utensil made of stone. The rule is that a utensil made of stone is completely impervious to tumah. Now, when the Mishnah says that a tanur made of metal, that's tahar, what the Mishnah means by that is that a metal tanur oven does not have the halachic status of a tanur, for once again, tanur in the Pasuk is referring to an earthenware tanur. However, v'tamei mishum kli matachos, a metal tanur oven, will be governed by the same laws that apply to any metal utensils, and therefore it could certainly become tamei. How it becomes tamei is different. If the tumasaurus merely enters the interior airspace of the metal tanur, it does not become tamei. But if the tumasaurus touches the outside of the metal tanur, it does become tameh. However, this is only true if we're talking about a tanur that has an actual bottom to it. If it's made exactly like the earthenware tanur, which is, again, essentially an overturned pot, and in other words, the floor of it is the ground itself, and if that metal tanur was then attached to the ground with clay, that actually would not be mekabel tumah. Because the general rule when it comes to kelim is that they're not mekabel tumah if they're attached to the ground. The earthenware tanur is the exception to that rule. And the Torah says, even though this is a kli that's attached to the ground, it's mekabel tumah. So if it's made of metal, once again, which is not included in the Pasuk's teaching of tanur, if that's attached to the ground, then it's not mekabel tumah. But the Mishnah now teaches it is possible for a tanur that is basically entirely made of stone or metal to gain the classification of halachic tanur that is mekabel tumah with all of the rules of tanur. That is, if nikav, nifkam, or nisdak, if a stone or metal tanur developed a hole, meaning the wall of the oven, or a piece broke off from the top of the oven, or a crack developed along the length of the oven, and the result is that the oven no longer functions properly, it can't retain heat, and also let's feilam, and the owner repaired the oven by adding some clay to the damaged area, or musaf sheltit, or if the issue was the top of it broke off, he repaired that by putting a clay, a ring, around the top. And so the point is that it was earth, or clay, earthenware, that made the oven functional again, tameh. Lacha here is that this oven, even though it's basically almost entirely made of metal or stone, now has the halachic status of a tanur with all the rules of a regular earthenware tanur. Based on the fact that, again, that it's earthenware material, clay, that made this oven function again, therefore the entire oven adopts that earthenware status, it's considered a halachic tanur. All of the rules of a regular classic earthenware tanur apply to this metal or stone oven. The Mishnah defines kami he benekev, how large would the hole have to be for the above rule to apply? The Mishnah explains, kedeshi yetze ba'ur. If the hole was large enough to allow fire to escape from the oven, then that's a clear sign that the oven was not working properly as long as the hole remained. And so in that case, if that's filled with clay, then once again, the oven would gain halachic status of a tanner. Now the Mishnah will shortly explain that a similar possibility exists in the case of a metal or stone kira. So we know the kira is a stove, not an oven, meaning it's not designed to bake bread. It doesn't reach the same kind of temperatures as a tanur. Rather, the way you use it is, you normally would put a pot of food on top of the kira, and the pot of food cooks from the fire lit inside of the kira. So the Mishnah will explain that there's an equivalent law when it comes to the kira, that in a certain situation, if the kira became dysfunctional and that damage was repaired with clay, the kira would then become halachically classified as an earthenware kira. All of the tumah rules of an earthenware kira would apply to this kira, which is basically made of metal or stone. If the specific issue was there was a hole which was filled up with tit, how large would the hole have to be? It's the same shear as we said as far as the case of the tanner, is if the hole was large enough for the fire to escape. Well, then that shows us that it wasn't really a functional appliance, and as such, it was that tit, that earthenware, that earth that repaired it. Therefore, it would become classified as halachic kira. All the rules that apply to an earthenware kira would apply to this metal or stone kira. And the Mishnah now runs through the parallel teaching that applies to metal or stone kira. The Mishnah says, kira shel evan v'shel mateches tahara. So first, the basic rule is that if the kira stove in question is made of stone or metal, it's tahar, that is, we would not judge that as the kira that the pasuk discusses, all the special rules of a kira. Those rules apply to an earthenware kira. In the case of a stone kira, it would be completely impervious to tumah. Regarding a metal kira, tmei mishum klei matachos, so it's like any other metal utensil. If it's a complete utensil, if it's not attached to the ground, it's portable and meets the other requirements for something to be considered a kli shematechas that's mekabel tumah, then it would be mekabel tumah in accordance with those rules. But once again, there is a possibility of a kira that's made of metal or stone essentially turning into a halachic earthenware kira. How, if nikva nifka manistika, if a hole developed in it, or a piece broke up, or a crack developed in it? So far, the case seems to be exactly the same as we described in the case of the metal or stone tanur. But actually, the Mishnah has become clear, saying something different here. The Mishnah is saying that when it comes to the kira, where it's not as important that it be so hot inside, because you don't bake in there. Really, again, you just use the fire to cook the pot on top. Rather, in the case of kira, we're specifically discussing where the damage happened to the bottom of the kira. So if it's a large hole there, then the fire won't work properly. And if there was a crack, something broke off, well then it won't be able to sit to level. You won't be able to balance the pots on top of the kira. And so it no longer functions as a kira. If then asala pitputin, the owner created some so-called feet, kind of your tripod, for the broken kira, and the tripod was made of earthenware. And so the point is, the earthenware tripod made the metal or stone kira functional again. The halacha is tmeya. This metal or stone kira would not be subject to tumah, that is, the tumah rules that apply to a literal earthenware kira. The Mishnah concludes with the discussion of stone or metal kira that didn't sustain damage, but which the owner decided to coat with clay. We have a dispute about this. The Mishnah begins with the first opinion, says, if somebody just decided to spread clay over a stone or metal kira, whether he did so on the inside or outside of the kira tahara, it remains outside of the classification of an earthenware kira, because yes, he applied some clay to it, no earthenware material, but it doesn't meaningfully contribute to the function of the kira. Kira, once again, basically works with just your fire at the bottom. You put the pot over, the fire heats the pot. That's all there is to it. So since this layer of clay, whether it was added to the outside or the inside, doesn't meaningfully contribute to the functioning of the kira, it remains the status of a non-earthenware kira. In other words, it doesn't have the particular status of a halachic kira. So it says the first opinion, however, Rabbi Yehuda said that mi bifnim tmeya, if he added this coating of clay to the inner walls of the stone or metal kira, it does gain the status of a halachic kira. And all the rules that apply to a kira that's literally made of earthenware will apply to this kira. Rabbi Yehuda argues if the inside is made now of tit, well, then we could say that basically this is an earthenware kira, which has a coating of metal or stone. Therefore, it is judged as a halachic kira. All of the rules of a regular earthenware kira apply. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if the coating of clay was applied to the outside of the kira, then that doesn't change anything. There's no real purpose for that coating. It provides some insulation, but again, that's not really how the kira works. The kira just basically works by putting the pot over the fire. And so in this case, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that this remains with the status of a non-earthenware kira. Therefore, if it's made of stone, it's completely impervious to tumah. If it's made of metal, then we judge it like any other metal utensil, but not with the law of kira.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.